When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Maeve Marsden and you're listening to Queer Stories. This week, Evie Ryder is a skateboarder, filmmaker and community activist. She has 20 years social work experience working with LGBTQIA+ sister girl and brother boy people and communities. And in 2020, Evie was voted Activist of the Year at Queensland's Trans Community Awards. She performed this story at Brisbane Powerhouse, leading to the first discussion of on-stage skateboard safety I've been witness to in my career. Enjoy.
I was going to title tonight's story, The Body Varial. And some of you are going, oh, what does that mean? It's the body varial in skater talk is actually, that's the polite way, but it's the move known as the sex change. And I thought, it's kind of like a coded title for the story. Skating down the road, down the hill, using my right foot as a brake to the side of the board, dragging along the cement. While I hold all of my balance with one foot traveling as fast as I can on an uneven road surface, hoping I can slow down enough to avoid rolling into oncoming traffic and avoiding pedestrians, carrying my backpack full of safety gear. Random people walk by on the street, warily keeping an eye on me, hoping I don't crash into them. I haven't crashed into anyone yet, not on a skate park. Never ask the kids on the skate park if I've crashed into them and you get a different story. You can't see everyone, can you? Especially those nine-year-olds. Like, it really ruins a skate session when that happens. It doesn't matter how much you apologize for wiping out this little child. It kind of sits with you. The sun is starting to set with only an hour of light to go. I head towards the local skate park in West End. The temperature has just cooled down. I have a wish in my heart that the park is empty, free of teenage boys, or at least free of little kids on scooters. Please. I hope that if there are people on the park, that they are chilled out and share the park and avoid using crude language. I arrive just as the sun has lowered, just enough to cover the park in a lovely afternoon shade. I start by finding a nice clear spot on the lawn so that I can cover myself from head to toe in safety gear, as I have a habit of falling off at high speeds and getting injured. My current knee pads are split in half due to the constant impact of the concrete. My safety gear makes me look like my idol, Wonder Woman. According to the kids at the skate park, but it makes me smell like a dead corpse left to rot in the sun. I often wonder if that's why most people avoid me at the skate park. And it's not the transphobia or the sexism. Mind you, when I skate, I get into a zone where everyone just disappears or turns into an obstacle to be avoided and dodge. My whole world just becomes me, the skateboard, and the skate park. I started skating for the thrill of rolling down a hill. And when my dad died, it became more about finding a way to deal with grief. And as I started to transition, skating without a shirt on became a bit hard. So I felt quite disconnected from skateboarding, and I found it hard to be skating and transitioning at the same time. So I started to skate less and less. In this time, I also became a social worker and I moved to Brisbane. In West End, I met lots of queers, people who wanted to skate with me, that were safe and respectful of my gender. They wanted to learn and I wanted to make friends, so I was more than happy to teach and I started to hold skate classes for my friends. I wanted to teach a kind of skateboarding that embraced being queer. I'd often throw a dance move in when I fell off. I'd often talk about the style, how you hold your skateboard. It's all about looking good when you skate. I tried to queer the term bromancing, which was basically bonding with queers while skateboarding.
Yes.
Or flirting. It's a bit of a mix sometimes, isn't it? I also tried to start out a skate team called Team Sparkle. Then it became Girl Skate Brisbane, and now it's mostly We Skate Brisbane. Trying to make a safe, supportive space for people of all diversities to skate. All this was done with community and especially my good skate friend Indigo Willing, who I met as a keen student wanting to fix their skateboard and looking for a friend to feel more safe to go to the skate shop with. Indigo, that's her name, inspired me to do so much more with my skateboarding. At this time, I wanted to get better at skating and coaching, so I found a local skate company and asked if I could start coaching for them. They told me that they would give me a go, but would hold off sending me to Ipswich due to discrimination I might get. Little did they know, I would do a lot of skate coaching in Ipswich. Yeah, and other regional towns just as cool as Ipswich. Because it turns out, regardless of what town you're from, if you want to learn to skate, people seem to not give a shit if you're transgender.
Yes.
Actually, I even had one young boy tell me in a warm-up stretch that he did not want to do squats with me because that was for girls and he was not a girl. I'd never heard of that, squats for girls. What the hell? Must be all kinds of exercises for different genders I don't know about. So overall, most cis men ignore me at skate parks or just ride into me or just hog a spot until I leave. Some teenage boys might give me shit if I'm with my girlfriend or ask to borrow my skateboard and call it a scooter. I found with the community and skating, the more I persisted, the more I met cis men that were not such dicks and were overall supportive. I was starting to win skate comps and I managed to come second to some of the most amazing 12-year-old girls who could kick my butt every time. It's worth it. It's worth it. At this time, I managed to get sponsored by a local skate shop, which for me was the dream, to get sponsored and to give up working a boring normal person's job. But while being sponsored gave me street cred, whatever that's worth. And when I was coaching or competing, it did help, but it didn't cover any bills. It also turned me into a person who skated to promote products and to convince other people to buy from the shop. Skateboarding became more about the image, the show, and the performance. I'd get asked to do skate demos with very little practice time, and often expected to impress a bunch of teenage boys who would mostly comment that if they were a girl, they could get sponsored as well. One time, a young teenage boy told me he liked my Instagram account. I was like, wow. And he told me which video was his favorite. I think this was my highlight of fame in my skateboarding career. My last comp would have to be my favorite, though. I was told about a skate comp in an indoor skate park for this group called the Old Man Skate Crew. The promotion said you could be female to enter. You just had to be over 35. I was like, yes. Finally, no 12-year-old girls to compete against me. I was like, hell yes, a chance to skate with people my own age. Just maybe there'll be some other female skaters to skate with. I arrived super excited at the competition to find I was the only non-cis male at the event. I figured, what the hell, give it a go and compete against the men. A few large rail slides later in the street section, and I was announced the winner. Thank you. I was shocked. I really thought there was no way in hell I could ever win. Then it sank in. All my life, people that had ignored me told me girls can't skate and would only ever ask me inappropriate questions about being trans. People that hogged the parks and the media just had their asses kicked by me. If I can beat them, so can all those awesome 12-year-old girls I compete with many times over. So I decided to stop competing in skate comps, as I no longer wanted to spend my whole day in a park waiting to get 1 minute of skate time. The skating at these events became who could hog the park the most and less about giving everyone the chance to skate and learn, which is why I wanted to do comps in the first place. I put a lot of my self-worth into skate comps, and if I lost and performed poorly, I would sink into a very dark depression for many days. I decided that this was enough, and I needed to skate for myself in the best way, that it was safe and fun for me. So back at the skate park in West End. I'm lucky today, it is just me. My body feels good for a change. My agility and coordination is aligned. I decided to film my first attempt at a frontside kickflip as a trick some locals had helped me to learn. And on this day, for the first time, I actually got the trick on film. And it was not perfect and it still needed lots of work, but a deep smile welled up inside of me. And it's these small moments of success that keep me skating and keep me sane. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you enjoy Queer Stories, please consider supporting the project for as little as $1 per month on Patreon. The link is in the episode description. Follow Queer Stories on Facebook for updates. And for insomnia rants and photos of my glorious dog, follow me, Maeve Marsden, on Twitter and Instagram.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.